Praise the Lord.
Praise
God. In our scripture reading today, verse 6 says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises.
Yes, Lord.
Because he is worthy of our praise.
Yes,
there is no one worthy of our praise.
Yes,
when we think of God and all of his goodness and all of the things that he has done for us, he is worthy of our praises. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of all the glory, of all the honor. It all belongs to him. Praise God. It is a good thing to give praises unto God. It is a good thing to give praises unto God. He is so worthy. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for this day. This day, this time, this hour that you have given us, Father God, that you have breathed life in us, oh God. And we take that very breath, Father God, and we praise you, Father God, with the very breath, Father God, that you have given unto us, Father God. Because we realize, God, that you are the breath that we breathe, Father God. And if it's not for your mercy and your grace, Father God, we wouldn't be able to take this breath, Father God.
Yes.
So, Lord God, we thank you, Father God, for the breath that we breathe, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Father God, that you have shown upon us, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your mercy, oh God, which endures forever, Father God. For Lord God, we will forever praise you, Father God. As the song says, God, we will sing around your throne forever, God, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and is to come. Who was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. Oh God, you are worthy, Father God. We will praise you, Father God. We will sing of your goodness, Father God, because you are worthy, oh God. There is no one like you, Father God. How dare we compare anyone to you, Father God, because no one is worthy, Father God, but you, Father God. And we will bow down, Father God. We will bow down, Father God. We will bow down, Father God, and say that you are holy, Father God. We will say, Father God, that you are the King of Kings and that you are the Lord of Lords, Father God, and that you are the only true, wise, and living God, Father God. There is no one like you, Father God. The rest are dumb idols, Father God, who cannot see and cannot hear and cannot talk, Father God. But you are living, Father God, and your creation, Father God, bears witness of you, Father God. Your creation bears witness of your glory, Father God. We will forever praise you, my Lord God, for you are worthy. Your mercy endures forever, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for having mercy on us, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for tarrying for us, Father God, when we were dead in our sins, Father God, when we were walking around blind, Father God, deaf, Father God, but you had mercy on us, Father God. You called us unto yourself, Father God, and we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit, Father God, because your word says that no man can come unto you except the Holy Spirit draws him, Father God. So Lord, we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, oh God, who reveals your truth, oh God, unto us, oh Lord. So God, we are just forever thankful, Father God, and we will sing of your goodness. We will sing of your praises. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray, and we give all thanks. Amen. Praise God. Today's message, a form of godliness. A form of godliness. If you would, please meet me in the second book of Timothy, chapter 3. And I will read verses 1 through 5. And if you're able to stand, please do so. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. This know also, so in the prior verses, the Apostle Paul gave Timothy some instructions about how to be, who to be aware of. But in verse 1, he says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And this is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Thank you. You may be seated. A form of godliness. That's interesting. A form of godliness? That sounds as though something, or let's just be real, someone seems to be godly, but not really.
Yes, that's right.
Basically a hypocrite. That's scary. Doesn't that alarm you or scare you? It does me. Because I don't want to be one of those people fulfilling this scripture. I don't want to be one of those people whom the Holy Spirit revealed to the Apostle Paul as he was writing this letter to Timothy.
Yes, yes.
You know, I didn't want my name, my face to have appeared when he said, for know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, I don't want my name to be attached to this.
Amen.
Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So, I know I can speak for myself. I don't want to be one of these people. So, a form of godliness, that's alarming to me. To have an appearance, a so-called appearance of being godly, but denying the power thereof. That's scary. So this message is one of those messages that for me punches me in the stomach. Because it makes me evaluate myself. To make sure that I am allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to work in me, and to make sure that I'm not making any, that I'm not taking any confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
So this message really, it had me to really do an evaluation, you know, to make sure where I stand, to make sure that, you know, what I confess, my life is giving witness to what I'm saying I am, or, you know, making sure my life is lining up with that.
Yes.
So the first part of this message is an evaluation. We need to take some inventory.
Yes.
It is easy for us to think better of ourselves and worse of others.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to think this message is for my sister or my neighbor. As Pastor Brian would say, person in the cubicle next to me at work. Or pastor such and such. But the Holy Spirit could be saying, no, this word is for you.
Yes.
Ouch. So we want to take some inventory. We want to do some evaluation.
Amen.
And so an example of how we can be at times, high-minded, you know, thinking a little bit more of ourselves. You know, when God brings a word of correction, no, that's not for me. That's for the person next to me. But an example is in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And verse 1 says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David. And he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he has done this thing and because he has no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man.'" Mm-hmm. So see, oftentimes when a word of correction comes, we don't see ourselves. And it takes God to say, "No, you are the person that this word is for."
Yes.
And so we want to always do an evaluation, always do a self-check. We always want the Holy Spirit to search us. And so skip into verse 13. "So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die.'" Hallelujah. Praise God. The beauty of repentance is the gift of forgiveness. So thank God that when he does bring a word of correction, because the purpose of him bringing the word of correction is so it will draw us unto repentance. So we need to rejoice when God brings us a word of correction, because that's an opportunity for us to get it right, to get back on track. We just need to allow the Holy Spirit to do an evaluation. And if he reveals something that is not of him, then the purpose is to cause us to repent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose. David's household did suffer for his sin, however, it didn't cost him his life. And because David was a man after his own heart, he repented. When God said, "No, this word is for you," he repented. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Sevi preached, "What Power Works in You?" And the scripture reading for that day was Psalm 51, which is known as a prayer of repentance. David wrote this prayer, and of course it was under the power of the Holy Spirit, after Nathan had told him about the sin he had committed. Because if you're not familiar, David had took Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, got her pregnant, and to cover the sin, he had Uriah killed. Mm-hmm. So that was what Nathan was coming to address to David at that time in Scripture. So the prayer of repentance is Psalm 51.
Yes.
This is a prayer that we need to always meditate on. We need to always ask God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. That needs to be daily. You know, we can't take any confidence in the flesh. Because the flesh is deceiving. We need to always ask God, "God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Because we do not want to be one of those having a form of godliness.
Right?
Or am I speaking to myself? No. I don't want to be one of those
people
who's having a form of godliness.
Yes.
I don't want to be identified as one of those people.
Yes.
So I want God to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And if he sees something that's not of him, I want him to reveal it so that I can repent and move forward. So we always want to receive the word of God however he reveal it unto us, because that is his loving kindness towards us. Once we have allowed the word and the Holy Spirit to search us, and again, if nothing has been revealed, because we should always come with just hands up. And if God reveals nothing, if he doesn't bring forth the word of correction, then we move forward. However, if something is revealed, then we need to repent so that we can move forward. Because that's the whole thing, is to move forward in Christ Jesus. Now, again, just to be clear, and we're on the same page, the example of David is to show, is to show how we can sometimes ignore a word of correction and think that it's for someone else until God says, no, this word is for you. However, once God revealed to David the word that was for him, he repented. Okay, so David did not have a form of godliness. He was a man after God's own heart. But that example was just to show that how we can sometimes overlook when God is saying, no, I'm talking to you. And we also need to remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, and in the Amplified, it reads, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that's the purpose of the word. So it's for correction of error, discipline and obedience, profitable for instruction, for reproof, conviction of sin. However God brings the word, we just need to receive the word, not take offense. Because so many people take offense to the truth, don't want the truth, but it's the truth that has set you free, that will set you at liberty. For God said, Jesus said in the word, for my words are spirit and they are life. He has the words of eternal life as you pray. So where can we go? You know, Peter said, where can we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. So however his word comes, we receive the word because we know that he's given this word out of love to what? Draw us, to mold us into the image of his son so that we can be more and more like him. So we just need to receive the word and however the word comes. And thank God for the word. So we always want to be found saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This was also a psalm that David wrote under the power of the Holy Spirit in Psalms 139. We don't want Satan finding anything in us that identifies with him. So in the sermon that Pastor Sevi brought was What Power Works in Us or in You, she quoted from John 14, verses 30 through 31. And I'll be reading that. And this is the Amplified. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, evil genius, ruler of this world is coming. And he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. And he has no power over me. But Satan is coming, and I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know, be convinced, that I love the Father and that I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders. Rise, let us go from here. So we want to be found surrendering to God.
Yes.
Whatever God reveals, repent. Yes. Because we don't want Satan seeing something in us to grab a hold to.
Yes.
So that we can be in some form of bondage and struggling with things and
right.
things that can damage our testimony. Because
right.
remember a few months ago, the Lord had given the word, beware, the devil wants to discredit your testimony. And so how he goes about to discredit our testimony is to get us trapped up in some kind of sin.
Right.
And even though, yes, we can repent and be forgiven, but again, you know, in man's eye, man still remember.
Right.
God is forgiven, you restored, but in man's eye, they still see that you fail.
Right, right.
And some won't ever receive the word from you anymore because they remember what you did.
Right, right.
So we don't even want to get entangled in that.
Yes.
Again, if you fall, you can get up through
right.
God and you are forgiven.
Yeah.
But in man's eye, they will see that sin.
Right.
And so we just don't want to give that the devil any opportunity for someone to not receive the gospel from us.
Right. Right.
And so because we have the Holy Spirit, those of us who have confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we have received him in our heart, we have the Holy Spirit in us who has the power, who is the power to keep us from falling.
Right,
right.
Yes.
So we just need to go with God. So we want to we want to make sure that Satan doesn't have anything on us. And if there's anything, we need to repent of it.
Amen.
We need to repent. Repent does it's not preached anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No one preaches repentance anymore.
Yes.
But there's beauty in repentance.
Yes.
It's forgiveness. There's life.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. So God told me, he said, put the word, and we know that this word, when we see it, we don't read it. But after reading John 14, verses 30 through 31, he said, put the word Selah, which means pause and think
right.
on that.
Amen.
Pause and think on that. Jesus said, I will not talk much with you, for the prince, evil genius, ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to meditate on that.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Meditate, Selah.
Yeah.
So moving forward, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
This know also, that in the last days, and we are in the last days, would you disagree with that? In the last days, perilous, which means difficult, terrible, times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. I mean, this list is extensive, isn't it? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And this is the key now. From such, turn away. So once we have allowed the word of God to search us and to make sure that we are not the one with the form of godliness,
mm-hmm.
you know, because how are we going to turn away from somebody? We the
Amen.
One, we are the one that's a
right.
form of godliness.
Yes,
so
yes,
we
yes,
need
yes,
to
yes,
make
yes.
sure that
yes.
we're not the one
right.
that has a form of godliness.
Right, right, right.
And if you are the one with the form of godliness, repent.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. See? Repent.
Right.
And then, from such, turn away.
Mm-hmm.
From such, turn away.
Right.
If someone has if someone has been identified as having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, we need to turn away from such people.
Mm-hmm.
What turn away means is we are not to endorse or follow their teachings.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't listen to them. Don't watch their programs on TV. Don't listen to their programs on the radio. Don't listen to it. Don't have a conversation with them unless it is you trying to witness to them.
Yes.
But do not endorse them or follow their teachings.
Right.
Because they are not working under the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So then, therefore, what power is working in them?
Because
it's either there's only two powers. There's the power of God and there's the power of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And you are either or. Either you are under the influence of the power of God or the power of Satan.
Yes.
There's no in between.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
I remember years ago, Elder Anita, she was teaching Sunday school, and she told a story. And she said, and I'm paraphrasing, it's been so many years ago, but it was God and it was the devil. And God said, all my people, come, if you with me, come with me. And the devil said, if you with me, come with me. Then there was these people who was on the fence. And the devil said, come on. And they said, what? Can't you see we on the fence? And he said, don't you know I own the fence? That stuck with me. I never forget that. Don't you know the devil own the fence?
Right. Amen.
He owns the gray area.
Yes.
So either you under the power of God, by the power of Satan.
That's
yes.
Right.
So, we need to turn away from such people because these people are deceiving masses.
Yes, they are.
Their teachings are dangerous because they seem right.
Mm. Yes.
You know, it seems right. It sounds good.
Yes.
But there's a key that's missing. It's just like when Jesus addressed the church at Ephesus and he went down a checklist. You've done this and you've done that. He said, oh, but there's one thing you lack. You have forgotten your first love. So the people with a form of godliness, you know, it seems right from, you know, from the eye and the natural.
Yes.
But the power, they are denying the power of God. So therefore, they are not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, they're under the influence of the devil, and we need not to listen.
Amen.
Because if we listen and we continue to entertain, we're being deceived.
Yes.
So we need to turn away from such people. These people come with enticing words, but they oppose the truth. You know, I was listening to someone a couple of weeks ago, and it was on point almost. It's like, yeah. And there was one thing that was said, and I was like, oh, no. So we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit so that when he reveals that unto us, we quickly react. We do not want to give any place to the devil. So we need to turn from such people. We have got to recognize them and their teachings and turn away. And again, we're in danger of being deceived. Matthew Henry's Bible commentary states, but perilous times shall come, for such as have the form of godliness shall be corrupt and wicked and do a great deal of damage to the church. He says, two traitors within the garrison may do more hurt to it than 2,000 besiegers without.
Yes.
And see, that's the danger, because the people who have a form of godliness, those are the people who are professing to be Christians that are in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not really the people out there in the world.
That's right.
You know, that's the red flag, you know. But it's the people that's within. You know, the devil is within. And that's the damage, because they appear to be of God and they're not. And they're deceiving people and leading people astray from the faith. So that's why this is serious. And as the word that God gave Pastor Sevi also, you know, where's the evidence?
Right.
We need to take note of the evidence.
Amen.
The fruit.
Yes.
We need to evaluate.
Yes.
Because this is serious.
Yes.
In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, and this picking up in verse 15, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Where is the evidence? We need to take inventory of the evidence.
Yes.
And if you are not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, if it's not evident that you are God's, we need to turn away from such people.
Yes, 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 yes.
We need to take inventory. This is serious. Again, this is serious. Because we are in perilous times.
Yeah.
We are in the last days. Mm-hmm. And as Scripture said, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world.
Yes.
So we have got to recognize. And then skipping to verse 21, he says, and see, this is a form of godliness. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, those were people who had a form of godliness. Because they were doing works. But their hearts was far from God. And these are the people that we need to turn away. Because these are the people that cause damage. We need to turn away from such people. And we have got to take a stand on truly identifying ourselves as God, as his people, and not getting entangled with the things of this world and bringing all this confusion. There needs to be a clear definition of who is God and what is God. You know, it's just a mingling, and there's no definition, but we have got to stop that.
Right.
Exactly.
We have got to show from the inside out that we are of God. This is serious. Because many people are being led astray. And I know I don't want to have to give an account for leading people astray. A form of godliness. From such people turn away. Now, do we need any more convincing? I mean, are we convinced that, you know, we don't want to be identified as having a form of godliness, you know, and if so, repent.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, just in case, we still need a little bit more convincing. We have another example. Now, when I read about this person, rather than throw stones at him, he causes me, for one, to look in the mirror to see what manner of man or woman I am. And then two, to identify, first cause me to look in the mirror to see what type of person I am. And then two, to identify such people who possibly could be in my circle of influence or to be on guard, you know, that I don't allow those people in my circle of influence. So, this person here that the Holy Spirit has given us an example is one that I personally, you know, I don't throw stones, but he makes me say, let me look in the mirror. Uh-huh. Now, does anybody want to take a guess who this person is? No? Judas Iscariot. Mm. You're talking about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? And the reason why I say he makes me want to, you know, I really, when I read about him, look in the mirror. Because here was a man who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, saw Jesus in such, you know, moments that only we could dream and wish we could have experienced. You know, he was one of the 12. And just think of the long walks they, to, you know, would take from city to city, and just seeing him on that level, you know, and yet betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And so Judas makes me ask the Lord, Lord, would I betray you for 30 pieces of silver? Or for $1 million? Or for that dream drop job? Or for fame? Or anything this world has to offer? Would I betray you? See, that's what, when I read about Judas, rather than just throwing stones and saying, you know, he was crazy or whatever, he really makes me take a look in the mirror, a long, hard look to say, Lord, would I do that to you? Lord, would I sell you out for 30 pieces of silver? You know, Judas, he was right there with Jesus. He just wasn't, you know, somebody out and about, but no, he walked with Jesus and he was right there with Jesus. And he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And of course, we know that Jesus wasn't deceived by Judas. He knew that he was the devil. As Jesus said in John 6, he said, haven't I chose you 12 and one of you is the devil? But it just goes to show how desperately wicked the heart can be.
Yeah.
And we don't want to take any confidence in the flesh.
Right.
You know, we always want the word of God to search us.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because I don't want to be Judas. Mm-hmm. I can just say it for me. I don't want to be Judas. So, you know, God, I want you to search me. And so this really kindles the passion in me of saying, you know, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. And in Jeremiah, because it says, because the word tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Yes.
Who can know it? God knows what's in a man's heart.
Amen.
So God, I want you to search me and know my heart.
Right. Yes.
Try me and know my thoughts.
Right. Yes.
And see if there be any wicked way in me.
Right.
And lead me in the way of everlasting.
Yes.
Because I don't want to betray you.
Right.
For anything that this world has to offer.
Right.
So God, you search me.
Yes.
And try me.
Right.
Know my heart. Know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And if there is any wicked way in me, reveal it, God, so that I can repent.
Yes.
Because I don't want to betray you.
Right.
I don't want to betray God.
Right.
I don't want to be Judas.
Right.
I don't want to have a form of godliness.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Judas, he was so close to God, yet so far. Right there with God. So close to God, yet so far away from God. And so that's why we cannot depend upon works to judge whether we're in right standing with God. I cannot say because I preach the gospel that, okay, I'm all
right.
Because there are many who are preaching, but they are far from God. Because if you read in scripture, Judas was one of the disciples that Jesus sent out saying, you know, say to them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, he told him, he was one of the ones, lay hands on the sick,
right.
Cleanse the lepers,
yes.
Cast out devils. Judas was one of those doing those works, yet his heart was far from God. So we cannot use works just to justify our standing, because again, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, many in that day will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name, prophesy in your name?
Wow.
So works alone is not enough. But the evidence is the fruit.
Yes.
The fruit is the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Not works alone, the evidence.
Amen.
So I want God to search me. And God, if there's anything in me that does not glorify you, I want you to remove it. Because I don't want to be identified as having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I don't want to be identified that way. I want to be identified as doing everything that God has commanded me through the power of the Holy Spirit, glorifying Him with my life. So if God, you search me, and if there's nothing, if it's something in me that's not right, reveal it so that I can repent. So when I stand before Him, He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because there are going to be many people that's surprised, because there are some thinking they on the right track. And those are the ones that are following behind the ones that have a form of godliness.
Yes.
And they're being deceived. They're thinking that they're, you know, they're receiving truth and they're not receiving truth. My message today is, where's the evidence? Look for the evidence. If there is no evidence, turn away. Do not listen to that teacher, do not listen to that friend. Stop going to that church. If there is no evidence that the power of God is at work, turn away.
Yes.
Because we don't want to be found saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And Lord said, I never knew you, depart from me.
Yeah.
So the purpose is, and this is God loving kindness drawing us. If I'm revealing something to you that's not right, repent. So that you can move forward. Because we do not want to be identified as having a form of godliness. We are in perilous times. So we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard. Jesus said you would know them by their fruit. We need to look at the fruit. This is serious. We are in the last days. We need to turn away from such people. And remember, turn away means to not endorse and follow their teachings. We are to give them truth, live it out, give it in word. How are we supposed to be, Pastor Brian? What was your sermon last week? Shining for Jesus. That's how we are to be, shining for Jesus. So that men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. In closing, the Lord wants me to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. The word reads, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and his kingdom, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You, as a preacher of the word, are to show people in that way, in what way their lives are wrong. Mm-hmm. And preacher of the word is all of us, because we are all called to preach the gospel, meaning to go out and preach the kingdom of God. Everybody's not called to be a pastor, but as far as we all called to preach the word, maybe not standing in a pulpit, but witnessing is preaching the word. You, as preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myth and man-made fictions. As for you, be calm and cool and steady, accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all duties of your ministry. Preach the word. Be about our Father's business. Let our light so shine before men so that they may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Amen. Let's not be identified as having a form of godliness. And if you are watching this message or listening to this message, God is hope. He leaves us with hope. And if he has revealed to you anything that's not like him, now is the time to repent. Now is the time. So that you can move forward in Christ Jesus. He says, today you hear my voice. Harden not your heart. Selah. Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you, Lord God, that you love us, oh God. How you leave us your word for instruction, Father God. And so, Lord God, we do not want to be found, Father God, having a form of godliness. But God, we want to be identified as yours, Father God. No confusion whatsoever. And so, God, we want you to search us, know our hearts, try us. And if you see anything in us, God, reveal it unto us, Father, so that we can repent, Father God. And Lord God, if you're saying this you have done right, then let us continue to move forward and let us preach your word, whether it's welcome or not, but let us continue to stand for you, Father God. Because we are living in the last time, Father God, and we are, God, living in evil times, Father God. And your kingdom is at hand, Father. And you said in the word that you wish none to perish, and so that's why you are tarrying. But God, we thank you, Father God, that we have your word, that we have your Holy Spirit. And so, God, just continue, Father God, to reveal yourself unto us. Continue, Father God, to open our eyes and our ears, Father God, so that we may see you and hear you, Father God. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that we're able to come and listen to your word. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Father God. And so, Lord God, we just thank you and we love you. In your son Jesus' name, amen.